summer sex school is now in session on Wake Up With Taylor.
And it'll probably help us out in our future sex lives.
Hey, girl. Hey, welcome back. Well, I mean, yes, but welcome back.
Here we are.
That was a little interlude. Yeah. Of course, I'm Taylor. That's Kenny. Hey, Mr. Man.
Hi, Taylor.
And you guys, right now we have Megan Fleming hanging out with us. She is a sex therapist. So can I call you doctor?
You can call me anything you want, Taylor.
Well, watch out, because I'm a naughty girl now that we started Cosmo Summer Sex School. Okay, not really, actually, at all. That's why you're here.
Okay, so how can I help?
Okay, so we started Cosmo Summer Sex School because, well, it's Cosmo Magazine Radio. Hello. And so you expect a little bit of sex every now and then.
Yeah.
I am a married woman, so I thought when I got married that maybe I would, like, the sexual beast would be released. And, still not so much. So over the years, you know, we've talked about all sorts of things on the show. And it got to a point where some of the listeners and I got in a fight about blowies, which is what we call blowjobs.
Okay.
And
all right, you're taking notes.
And whether or not you should still give them? Is that the question?
Well, our feelings on them. And the listeners love to give blowies. And I disagreed. Anyway, we got in a fight and it was like, what was the statement, Kenny?
Well, you should get your hormones checked.
Well, it was like blowies on Cosmo Radio. Like,
oh yeah,
somebody, you work for the magazine.
It's somebody who doesn't? Yeah.
And so then people started calling into question my hormone levels, you know, and Taylor, you know, not liking sex. And it's not that I don't like sex; it's that there's like something about talking about sex. But there, you know, it also trickles into my, I guess, sex life as well. So anyway. I just want a realistic perspective on sex. I'm trying to open up my mind to being a more sexualized woman.
Well, hence that's Cosmo Summer Sex School. That's why we're here.
Yes.
Well, I'm great to be here for sex school.
Well, and you're in the very beginning stages, so be forewarned.
Okay.
Okay?
The greatest thing about sex school is that we all can use a lesson.
Great.
And I mean, I'm married 12 years. I've been a sex therapist 15, and I'm still learning about sex. So.
Really? Okay, perfect. That's the thing. Everyone talks like they're the experts, and I find the people that talk about the most are having it the least.
Right. They're closed-minded. And the thing that if you really want to embrace and awaken your sexual potential and your erotic mind, you have to realize it doesn't start with your partner. It starts with you.
Erotic mind. You just made me nervous.
Yeah.
What is my erotic? So it's like 50 Shades of Grey?
Well, no, the erotic mind is the fact that we have our imagination and that honestly, you can have the best sex ever and multiple orgasms without anybody even touching you. And if you don't yet know how to do that, then you're missing out. So
this seems to be the constant theme that haunts me. So basically, let's break down what you're saying. Masturbation.
Well, it's masturbation, but it's imagination. It's,
okay,
it starts with the willingness and openness to realize it's possible. So many people turn themselves off long before they get to the bedroom. Even as you're saying, like,
yeah.
I don't like giving, you know, I forget your word, BJs.
Blowies. See, we even have like third grade terminology. Although if third graders are talking about blowies, there's a problem.
But it starts right there. Like, are you open and receptive to even knowing what's possible? Because if you don't even imagine a picture that can look different, then you've limited
yourself.
You'll
never get there.
Right? Yep. Exactly.
Now, treating people, I'm sure you treat a lot of couples too with sex therapy,
absolutely.
Right? That's like, it's probably rare that you get somebody that comes as a single person.
No, I get half couples, half singles.
Really?
Absolutely.
So interesting. But I feel like, you know, I might get called out for being weird and having low hormone levels, but I think I reflect a big population of the female population with this, like, it's this conflict with sex. It's like dirty and bad, but like when you're a married woman, you know, you have to have sex. So it's like this weird thing about this guilt, I guess is the best way I can describe it. It's this guilt. Dirty, bad.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, a few things. One is it feels like a thing I have to have, right? And that there's nothing sexy about something you have to do, right?
Right.
I mean, it's more like I want to. And if you don't want to, you could explore what's getting in the way of that want.
Right.
But the other thing is if there's one time explicitly you're permissible to have sex, it's when you're married.
Right.
So, you know, I think the only thing we should feel bad or guilty for is when we knowingly do something wrong that hurts someone. And
right.
Generally, that's never going on in the sex realm. And so I think we need to put all those inhibitions to the side and realize that we're blocking, right, by that language and that way of thinking, really our erotic potential.
Right. So it's about the erotic potential, really.
Right. It's the openness to explore, to try on new things. I mean, when you talk about bad sex, I think mostly we're talking about sex not worth having.
Right.
Because most people find that it gets very boring. It gets into a rut. It gets scripted. Think about it. When you come into a relationship, there's what's on your menu, all the things you like to do. There's what's on your partner's menu. Mm-hmm. And then you combine the menus. So let me just tell you, a lot falls off.
Okay.
And now you've got a very limited repertoire menu, unless mm-hmm. you're willing to try on new things and add new items. Variety is the spice of life.
And right.
That's true in the bedroom as well.
Right.
So you have to be open to switching it up if you...
Now, where do you learn these things?
Where can you not learn these things?
That's a good point.
Today,
yes.
In 2012, you can learn it anywhere. Of course, you want to be looking for reputable resources, but certainly the internet, there's great self-help books, there's sex therapists, there's sex coaches. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing a webinar in 2 weeks. An awakening and embracing the power of your erotic mind,
ooh,
which is a free webinar, and anybody who wants to sign up can check it out on my website, greatlifegreatsex.com.
Now, even your website's telling, you know, great life, great sex. So what percentage of the pie is the importance of your sex life or your sexuality as a human?
Well, I think that when it's sort of alive and thriving, it in some ways it's a smaller piece of the pie in that, you know, it really nourishes you and keeps you feeling sort of alive and vital sort of throughout your day. The thing about when you start having great sex or sex that feels worth having,
right,
it's your own erotic charge. It's like keeping your own pilot light on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when all that's going well, the reality is you just want more and more.
Right.
But I don't
right.
think of it as a big piece of the pie because it's like there's a sense of balance there and mm-hmm. it's just one that I like to enjoy.
This is what I've always said about sex, and I'm going to tell you. Okay, so here it is.
Can't wait to hear.
I equate sex to the gym. I say the idea of doing it. It's like sex. We gotta do sex. I mean, and this is of course now like further along in our relationship. In the beginning, when it's like that honeymoon phase, I
sure.
feel like it's just like, you know, when you're not supposed to be doing it, that's when, you know, you want it or fine, I want it the most. Oh God, that was
a little telling actually.
That was so uncomfortable.
There's something about getting or having what you're quote unquote not supposed to have. There's something it's about learning your erotic map for one.
Right. See, my therapist says I'm stuck in my adolescence a little bit with this like whole rebellion thing.
So there's ways to be bad and rebellious and
right.
Think about, well, we could talk about perhaps off radio.
No, on
radio.
We
can
do it.
We can do it.
Yes.
You know, so you might be somebody who likes the idea of what would make it feel rebellious or dirty or naughty.
Why?
And so,
why is that? Why is that?
I
am I sexual deviant?
I think that. That's
but
what
then I feel
think.
Guilty about wanting to go there. I'm like, you know, I'm maybe it's because I was raised Catholic. I don't really know. I'm sure you have a lot
I'm
of
Catholic
clients.
Also. So
you know that Catholic
so
guilt.
So I know all the guilt and the inhibitions. And, you know, even as a sex therapist, it took me years to be comfortable at a sex shop and asking questions.
Right.
And owning what I didn't know and just being comfortable with my body.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's how do you work with what your turn-ons are? So, like, in the bedroom, you know, maybe it's the blinds are open or maybe, you know, if you're in the suburbs and the blinds are open
because everybody can
on
see
your backyard.
In New York City, everybody can see. Blinds are
does
open.
That
it's
turn
like
you
a
on?
Sex show. No, that makes me nervous. That makes me nervous. There was a sex scene. Do you watch True Blood at all?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's so sexy. So sexy. So there was a scene that I was watching and it was the preacher's wife. Okay. This is so telling. The preacher's wife was having an affair with this guy, Jason Stackhouse. He's like this idiot. He's like the town idiot, but he's so smoking hot. And he's in the bathtub. She's giving him a handy in the bathtub in the church where they live. Basically, they have like an annex to the church. And she's cheating on her pastor husband with the idiot hot guy.
Scandal.
And I got very tingly in my tingy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, so now that just the great thing about that is it's like what your fantasy could be. So you know what? The fact that just thinking about it even now revisits that memory and
right.
you get a little bit tingly. Guess what? Use that kind of fantasy all day long, or certainly before you're having an experience with your husband, just to connect with that part of you that can feel sort of illicit and sexual, or role play.
Right.
You could have a lot of fun thinking about ways to take on roles and characters that could give you that feeling as well.
When it comes to role playing and fantasies, do you let the other person in on the fantasy, or is it just in your head?
You gotta let, well, sorry, some level, right? Especially if you need like a uniform or something, you have to let the other person know. That
I am more creative than that, Ken.
Soldier fantasy.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're gonna go role play, you really want to let the other person in on it because, you know, everybody's gotta have a role play. Right.
So Brett's like, why are we going to the bathtub?
Why are you
Your
dressed
name
like...
is Jason.
Yeah.
He's like, why? I don't wanna do this.
Why? Yeah, right.
Okay.
I want to go back to your gym analogy, though, because I think it's fabulous.
Yes, you know? It's like going to the gym. I don't want to do it, but when I go, it feels great. And I'm like, I should do this every day. And then the next day, I forget that again.
Exactly. So how do you keep that memory, that awareness alive? Like, it, same thing with the gym. Most people think, oh, God, I don't want to go. And then no wonder often they don't get there, right? Because you're turning yourself off long before you turn yourself on. And that's the power of the mind, right?
Right,
So often
the erotic mind.
The erotic mind. We're turning ourselves off constantly.
Right. This is so true.
We're focusing on what we don't have, what we don't want, what we want more of, not what we do have, a partner who's there, who's ready, who's available, who wants to give you pleasure. Mm-hmm. If you start focusing on the pleasure and the possibilities and what you do want, what you focus on expands. What you resist persists.
Huh. What you resist persists.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. You know, it seems simple, but it seems complicated to actually put it into practice. Like, that makes sense if you're putting yourself out of the game before you're even in the game.
So when you're treating couples, do you sometimes give them like sexual homework to do?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what kind of assignments could you give me?
When you say homework, the thing is I often don't frame it that way because nobody likes homework.
Right.
Even if it's fun homework.
Even the words I use are off-putting. I'm resisting and persisting.
Nobody wants to have to do anything. That's the way we're wired, right?
So when I first met my husband, when he was my boyfriend, and it was like, naughty. I was like, I want it 18,000 times a day. And then we got married, and it's allowed. I'm like, it's like when you turn 21. You're like, I don't want to go to the bar anymore.
See, you like the scandal.
I guess I do.
You might like
and
to
it's
feel
interesting because a lot of people at 21 still want to go to the bar. So, you know, there's
I was like, this is boring now. Legal? Get out of here.
So there's something once it's permissible, it's not wanted. So I think learning how to find something that feels naughty or bad or explicit in some way that feels like the rebellion to you is going to be a ticket to your turn on for sure.
I'm embarrassed right now.
That's very good though. Imagine how
now you've got some tools and tips.
I guess I do now. I understand where I'm coming from because I guess I just convinced myself for so long that I just wasn't a sexual person. But I sound like a freak actually.
No,
in a good
look
way.
At how. Yeah, exactly. Look at all the fun and the pleasure and exploration and you know if you had it then you absolutely it's in your body memory.
Right.
And you can totally get back to that.
Right. It's like when it becomes okay all of a sudden, it's
not exciting to you anymore.
Right, exactly.
Right. And it becomes the story you tell yourself.
So what
I am this person, I am not that person. I'm not the kind of woman, me, Taylor, doesn't enjoy sex when it's permissible with my husband. And then that's the story you go out to into your world and your relationship with. So it's time to tell yourself a new story.
So what's our story? Like what's to do?
Oh.
Anything can happen if you let it.
Kenny, would you like to create a fantasy? Because you will officially ruin it because you're like my brother. Let's do this.
You went to sex school. You got fun work from the instructor. Both you and Brian, fun work and experiences
that you haven't yet tried on.
And you didn't do it. And so now you're both in detention. So it's really bad. And the teacher's about to check in with you guys in 45 minutes. She's waiting right outside the door. And then you're like, how are we going to make
45?
I meant to say 4 to 5 minutes.
I like that.
And she's going to be right back. So you have like no time. And you're like, but we can get in so much trouble to do this.
Wait, but so how
you
do
need
I?
Need time, however, to get aroused. Let me just tell you. You're not willing to give the time. You're cutting it off, honey.
Okay, so what is the best possible amount of time you can devote to a sexual moment start to finish?
Well, I would have you first start on your own, exploring your sexuality. I know, look at that look. She's like, forget
that's
it.
That's like the first piece of advice she gets.
Okay, so here's the deal. Let's go backwards.
Wait. I don't know if I said it, but the part is you can, on your own, have the best sex and more orgasms without anybody ever touching you. That's just the power of your imagination and your erotic mind.
Dr. Megan, let's talk about masturbating and Taylor. Okay. I did not masturbate at all, like ever. I mean, when I was little, I always like touched my vulva. Dr. Logan Levkoff makes me say that.
She's fabulous. We all love her. Yeah.
And sniffed my fingers. You know what I'm talking about. Like that stage.
You're exploring your body. It's fantastic.
And then my mom and dad were like, Taylor, wash your hands.
So you got a little shame around it.
But I mean, I agree with that. It's like, I don't want, you're touching your butt all day long, you got to wash your hands too. You know?
Exactly.
It's not hygienic.
Right.
So, but I mean, mean, I don't know. I guess I touched down there, but like not like in like I'm gonna masturbate kind of a way.
Right.
Not like, at all.
How are you gonna tell your husband what turns you on if you don't know what turns on yourself?
Right, but this is the thing is that like I mean, once people say, well, you gotta do it yourself, it's like you're telling me I have to go take a calculus AP test.
Right, you'd say
mountain like,
to you.
I'm like an algebra one, you know? So this is a little overwhelming. So I'm having this hard time getting to that place right. where that's okay. I don't really get horny, if you want to know the truth.
Well, you got to use visualization and imagery, thinking about those naughty, dirty, you know, those experiences that...
Am I abnormal? Is this normal? Do you hear this from a lot of women?
Of course I hear from a lot of women. So
where
many
does
people know how
from?
To turn themselves off. It comes from many reasons, and it can come, as you said, from religion and messages you got. It can certainly come from experiences, early childhood experiences. Often our erotic map is rooted there in terms of turn-ons and turn-offs. And it comes from, you know, ultimately life experience. But I think to the extent that you've just defined yourself, I am this woman who's not sexual once it's permissible.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's your limiting, you know, belief that's getting in the way of your erotic potential.
Right. That's what it really is. Although I will say the masturbating thing is not that that is still in my mind like bad, you know. Even though I know as a logical, intelligent woman that that's a wrong statement. But they're still like. If my mom knew I masturbated, then...
Well, then doesn't it feel bad and naughty? And
right, shouldn't I
want to
do it?
Yeah.
But it's, like, so naughty.
But I think... And that might not, never go away. A lot of like my buddies talk about this, like how
you and your buddies talk about female masturbating.
Yeah, we're talking about our vulvas. No, but there is always like a little bit of you know, because you started out like you said when you're building your erotic map, you start doing that when you're a kid, so you're hiding it,
right?
Because if you ever got caught, you feel like you'd get in trouble or whatever.
My God,
so
yeah.
that's but now that you've grown up and you're not going to get caught, there is always going to be that part that's like this is bad, you know, a little bit of guilt. But
well, my friend
it's good
who's
enough
actually
to get
getting
over
married
guilt.
On Saturday. Locked me in college. She was like, you've never masturbated in college. And I was like, no. And so she's like, pfft. So she took me to the porn shop or whatever in town with all the triple X's outside. And we went in and we got the most, I mean, they were all intimidating, but the least intimidating vibrator, which happened to be a small pink bunny, a jelly bunny.
Okay.
Which then,
I thought you were going to say the bullet, but go ahead.
Which then when I took back to my, so she takes me back to my house and she's like, go in that room and masturbate. And I was like, this is like a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
and
that's pressure.
Not private. And also, it's a bunny. This is a bunny that you want me to put my where?
Okay.
And so I just went in there and pretended like I did. And I came out, I was like, that was great.
So I heard a lot of reasons why it didn't work, right? It's the pressure, foundation of arousal is relaxation.
Right.
The fact that you have to start with what feels like it's a turn on to you. And I'd start with your hands and not even thinking about sex toys and the exploration. The huge mental stim and getting your head into the right place.
I'm having a hard time.
And let's go back to the masturbation. So many people are
this
still masturbating exactly
right?
the way they did when they were in adolescence. And just like you want variety in your sex life with your partner, you should be trying on new things by yourself. New toys,
right.
new ways of feeling sensual or sexual pleasure. And
see,
I think, go ahead.
Masturbating is the cornerstone to all of this, really.
Well, I think it's a cornerstone of knowing and owning, right? It's about owning and taking responsibility for your own sexual pleasure. And absolutely, that's the place to start.
So are we the ones making that map? I mean, can we make our own erotic map, or is it the sexual experiences that have paved the map for us? You know what I mean? Like, so if Taylor, let's just say Taylor's a blank slate, you know, talking about not masturbating.
Right.
Which is amazing. You're being so honest. Can Taylor build her own map by starting to do that more, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we could all explore and expand our repertoire and awaken our erotic self and move beyond these limiting beliefs and stories. At the same time, I want to respect that. It's not always the easiest thing, right? Because it's certainly true that based on childhood experiences, or especially if there's sexual abuse or if there's pain during penetrative sex, you know, there's certainly, I'm not minimizing that there are hurdles or barriers that are absolutely in the way, or hormones, right?
But maybe it's a hormone.
But so much about pleasure doesn't even have to be about orgasm or penetrative sex, right? It's really about giving and receiving pleasure.
Maybe I've been masturbating all along and I've just pretended like I'm not. Like
tell
when
me more.
People
oh, like
when
memento?
People when people don't use condoms and they think that they're like not having sex, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or like when like I never did this by the way, when Catholic girls want to be virgin when they get married, so they have booty sex and then they pretend like they're virgins, which is so not virginy to have booty sex, right? Right, doctor?
I mean, the one thing about sex and the definition of it, I think through Bill Clinton, we realized that, you know, we're redefining it all the time.
Well, he also changed the meaning of the word is, too, during that whole trial.
Oh, my gosh. But I just, I feel like, I mean, it's not like I, like, never, like, it's not like I'm scared of touching my vagina. I mean, if I have an itch, I scratch it. If I wash my vagina.
How much time do you even make
I'm not masturbating.
For
I'm
erotic? Sorry. No, just don't start with the masturbation. Start with erotic reading. Start with
I got
movies
Shades
or images. Shades of Grey. Things that.
True Blood. That's sexy.
Exactly.
I really like Game of Thrones. Sexy.
Now, do you sense, Dr. Megan, that there is an overall thing with Taylor where it's just about relaxing and letting go in general?
Ooh.
Getting to meet her, but I'm certainly hearing in the bedroom, and when we think about masturbation, there's a big part of you, right, that already has made up your mind about what you're not going to experience, and you haven't yet let go. So.
I have an amazing self-control.
Yeah, and I feel like Taylor doesn't let her mind shut down, you know, and she'll say that. But, you know, so I feel like it's hard for her to even get to that place, which I think she actually is open-minded with, because if you see her eat delicious food or something, she wants to limit herself.
Oh, you can feel that orgasm, right? Like, she's
savoring
that.
But she has so much passion. Yeah, she's got passion
and
energy.
I just heard food sex. What's that called? Like, it's bestiality, I don't do that, and there's human sexuality, and then there's like, well, who are people that have make love
I
to food?
Don't know that technical
American
term, but that's fabulous. But I do think that, you know, for a lot of women, the reason they don't reach orgasm is because it's about letting go. And it is about letting go and letting control and feeling the safety, which usually you do in the context of relationship and by yourself, of course.
Right.
It's the place to start.
If I can be really open and honest, the place I am more... in terms of my sexuality, the place I'm the most comfortable in is with my husband. I feel very accepted, unconditionally loved, very free. Like, I could try anything.
Okay, perfect.
So can I can
forget
I do
for
with
you
him?
Then?
Because
the masturbation
I can't do
piece
alone.
Okay,
alone makes me feel like a bad naughty spank. You're a bad girl, not in a hot way. Okay. Like in like the nuns. The nuns.
So this is actually really fabulous because this is kind of how I feel about fantasy. If fantasy can help turn you on when you're turned off, it's like tools in a toolbox, I think it's great. But if you feel bad or guilty about it, there's more tension there. So you don't want to include it in the mix.
Right.
So if on your own, you're going to feel more self-conscious, more tense, more in your head. Like if you put a cartoon bubble above your head and looked at those thoughts.
You're being a bad girl right now.
Right. There's nothing sexy probably about that talk, right?
No. And it also, I mean, and then my mind starts going and then I'm
you're
like.
You're totally taken out of a sexual
even
moment.
Even if I want to try to go there, it's not going to happen.
Right. So start with your husband because that's where you're relaxed. That's where you're comfortable to try new things on. Try perhaps the role play and get into little outfits or whatever helps you evoke, right?
Where do you buy the outfits online? I don't want anyone to see me buy
them. You already have them from your bridal shower. You got a bunch of that lingerie.
Oh, God.
So you could do like...
That doesn't fit me anymore.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Okay, let's take a quick break.
Yeah,
when we get back, more with Dr. Megan Fleming. She is a sex therapist, and I feel like we're doing great stuff already.
Me too.
I do. More to come, you guys. Don't go anywhere. My insecurities will be your roadmap.
Your morning wake-up call just got a whole lot more fun. Wake up with Taylor on Cosmo Radio, Sirius XM 109, and on the Sirius XM smartphone apps.